Good morning, everyone. So before I introduce myself, I'd like to take a moment to thank the organizers of this conference for giving me the opportunity to present some of the stuff that I'm passionate about here at FOSDEM. My name is Matthias. I work for ITEX. So we're a small but international company, and our flagship product is an open source PDF library. Besides my activities at work, I spend a large portion of my free time tinkering with open source software and PDF alike, as you will probably see if you would take a look at my GitHub page, which is linked on the slide. The topic that I would like to talk to you about today is about document security, and in particular, digital signatures in PDF, which is the reason why I am here at this open source safety dev room. So before digging into the main topic for today, I should perhaps take a moment to motivate why I care about PDF security and why you should too. So in recent years, paperless bureaucracy is becoming more and more of a thing, especially over the course of the last year or so. More and more people are being forced to deal with their paperwork remotely, whether it's in the context of work or, well, their personal lives, in dealing with government paperwork and so on. And, well, in the absence of actual physical papers to do our stuff with, electronic paperwork has taken its place in many respects. And in this context, PDF is still the go-to format. Now, why is that? There are a couple of reasons for PDF's position in this particular market. And perhaps the most significant one is the fact that it's standardized. So both the rendering and the file format itself are pretty well delineated. Once you generate a PDF, it's supposed to render the same way on pretty much every device. This is obviously a plus when you're dealing with legal documents that should look the same everywhere, so people can't like complain about formatting differences, obscuring the meaning of the text and so on. So this is definitely the thing that people think of first when they hear the word PDF. The fact that it's a standard also means that there is wide support for it. So while Adobe's software still is the most significant piece of software that people use when dealing with PDFs, at least at the end user level, the fact that it's a standard also opened the way for more public participation in this regard. So by now, there are tons and tons of libraries that deal with PDF in some form, whether it's to generate PDFs or to extract content from them. But the position of PDF in this space is definitely well established. And part of that, or in large part at least, is due to the fact that it's an ISO standard. Now, the aspect that I would like to focus on today is perhaps a bit more narrow. So I would like to talk about some of the security features of PDF. And the reason why that's relevant, particularly in this context, is because as soon as you start involving bureaucracy, being able to audit things and attach a provable record of authority to PDF files is an important thing. So that's why most of the talk I will be focusing on digital signatures, but before that, let me try and discuss briefly what the aspects of PDF security actually involve in this respect. So before we can talk about document security as it applies to PDF in particular, let's take a step back and set the terms of the discussion. So what does it mean for a document to be secure? I've listed four aspects of document security here on the slide. So the first one is integrity. So that just asks whether the document changed or not. It's pretty self-explanatory. Then there is authenticity, which is closely related but not quite the same. So authenticity asks for a record of who created the document and in particular also when, if that applies. Then there's secrecy, so who can access a document? There are plenty of documents that you don't want anyone to be able to access. The final aspect of document security is safety. So that one asks what a document can actually accomplish or do without the user consenting to it. So as you may or may not know, the PDF standard has some provisions for embedding JavaScript into documents. And this can be done for legitimate reasons, such as form validation or dynamic content maybe, but it's also often abused by nefarious actors to, well, do all sorts of bad things, such as submitting form data to endpoints that they themselves control instead of the document author and so on. So this is also an important aspect of document security, which Unfortunately, I won't talk about too much today, but it's important to keep in mind, especially in context of the other factors here, in the context of the other factors that I've already explained. So now, how does all of that apply to PDF in particular? So PDF has multiple features that support any well, or support various subsets of these aspects that I just discussed. So the first one and most obvious one is PDF encryption. So that serves the secrecy aspect of document security, as the name pretty much implies. Then the second aspect, which is actually what most of this talk is going to be about, is digital signing. So that one provides both integrity and authentication. Then there's timestamping. Timestamping provides integrity in a slightly different way. So while a digital signature can be used to verify that the document that you're seeing was authored by a specific person, a timestamp proves that the document existed at a certain point in time and that it did not change after that. And then finally, there is redaction. So often when governments release previously classified documents, they have to redact portions of it to preserve national security or the privacy of the people involved. And also for this, there is support in the PDF standard. Okay, so enough abstract talk. Let's go to a more concrete example. Suppose that two companies, say Alice and Bob, and these names obviously weren't chosen by accident, have brokered a deal that is worth lots of money to both of them. So they want to engage in some form of contract. And now the question is how they could go about securing this contract. So this is a list of what the requirements might look like. So the first one is they might require secrecy to avoid leaking the terms of their contract to the competition because, well, that might compromise their position in the market. Then there is also the aspect of integrity, which is extremely important when you engage in a deal of whatever nature with someone. So we want to make sure that both parties agree to the same terms, and you want to avoid giving the opposition the opportunity to insert language that's convenient to them but not to you. And then there is the authenticity aspect, where we want to ensure that the parties that actually end up signing the contract are who they claim to be. The first aspect that I want to discuss in more detail is encryption in PDF. So, as the commonly heard mantra says, you should never roll your own crypto. So, as a responsible developer, the first question you should ask here is why should I even handle it in PDF? There are other more established ways to handle document encryption, and some of these actually predate the PDF standard. So you might just attach your document to an encrypted email encrypted with OpenBGP, for example. That's one way to deal with it. You could also use arcane OpenSSL incantations to encrypt your files on the command line like a real power user. So if you know what you're doing, this is actually a perfectly acceptable way of encrypting stuff. It's just not very user-friendly. Then there are all sorts of end-to-end encrypted messaging systems around today. So Signal is perhaps the most famous of those. Then there's ProtonMail, what have you. There are lots of these. So yeah, then why should you use PDF encryption? Or in what cases, in what sort of situation would you want to use PDF encryption? So the advantages of PDF encryption are more or less the following. The most important one is the fact that it's part of the standard that defines PDF. So that means that it's in particular natively supported in most PDF viewers, which means that if you're catering towards non-technical users that don't just have to view or fill out PDFs, this is a way to accommodate them quite easily. If you use PDF encryption, you also know that the data is encrypted both at rest and in transit, because, well, it remains within the file. And yeah, if you only, say, encrypt the files in transit by, for example, attaching it to an email and then people download the attachment and so on, you can't be certain that the data will remain encrypted at rest as well. PDF encryption also affords certain flexibilities that you might want to exploit. So you have the choice as a document generator between using public key encryption or password-based encryption. You can even choose to only encrypt the main content of the document by leaving the metadata unencrypted for indexing purposes, if you would want to do that. And if you really want to go granular, you can even choose that only embedded files are to be encrypted. Okay, so let's discuss some of the concrete encryption features that PDF offers. So essentially, you can choose between either symmetric encryption or asymmetric encryption. In this context, by symmetric encryption, I mean that you use a shared password to encrypt and decrypt the file, which has a very low barrier to entry. Users understand what passwords are. The only restriction is that you have to share the password out of band in some way, because obviously you can't just distribute it together with the document itself. Then you can also opt for asymmetric encryption, so you encrypt the file encryption key with the public key of each recipient. So under the hood, this of course still uses asymmetric encryption, but the key to decrypt the file is encrypted separately for each recipient. The disadvantage of this is that, of course, the initial hurdle to set up good PKI in a way that users understand and can work with is pretty high. But on the other hand, it does offer much more flexibility, and it's also more secure in a way, because you don't need to actually distribute passwords to files in a systematic way. So as a developer, how would you go about encrypting a document in practice? So the example that I'm showing here is, of course, an example using iText. And what we're going to do here is encrypt a one-page document with AES-256. So there is some input file containing just one page that we want to encrypt using AES-256. So the example here is a bit wordy, but I'll take you through it step by step. The first step involves picking a user and an owner password. So you don't need to worry too much about the distinction between these from a cryptographic point of view, because the result is the exact same in the sense that both will allow you to decrypt the document. However, some viewers, or at least, well, viewers should in general behave differently if a document is opened with the user password as opposed to the owner password. Now, from a security perspective, this doesn't really matter, of course. But nevertheless, it's something to keep in mind when you actually write encrypted files, just so you don't, get surprised by an API asking for multiple passwords. So after picking passwords, we also set some usage permissions, also for the same reasons, you don't need to worry about these too much. And then we set up the output writer to use AES-256 encryption with the settings that we just defined. Then we open some input and output streams, one for to actually ingest the input document and one to write the output document with the writer properties that we just set up here. And then we copy one page from the input to the output. And that's basically it. So on the previous slide, I demonstrated how you might go about encrypting a file using iText. Now, iText supports pretty much everything there is to support when it comes to PDF encryption. So it's an excellent choice if you're a Java programmer or a .NET programmer. But I imagine that that doesn't apply to everyone here in the audience today. So I've compiled a short, albeit very incomplete, list of libraries that offer open source PDF encryption support. So if you're a C or C++ programmer, you might want to rely on MuPDF, QPDF, or Poplar. All of these are very well established within the open source community already. They back lots of PDF viewing software used in Linux and so on. Then, if you're a Python programmer, you have multiple choices depending on what you're after. So, if all you have to do is ingest legacy PDF files encrypted using ancient RC4 encryption, and you want a simple library that doesn't have too many bells and whistles, you can use PyPDF2. It does the job. Then, if you want something slightly more feature-rich, you might want to rely on PyKPDF, which is actually a wrapper for a QPDF. So in particular, it also supports everything that QPDF supports. And then finally, there is PyHanko, which is a Python library that aims to support basically all signing and encryption provisions in the standard. So that one is also an option here. If you're a JavaScript programmer, then PDFKit is the obvious candidate here. Or if all you need is a viewer, then you might want to use PDF.js, which is, I think, Mozilla's project. Then if you're a Go programmer, finally, then one of the libraries that I've run across on the internet is Unidoc, which is a commercial but nevertheless open source offering that in particular also does encryption. Now, full disclosure, if it wasn't obvious already, I work for IATX, but I'm also the main author of PyHanko, so I'm not entirely unbiased in this regard. So since we're in the open source safety dev room, after all, this is a topic that we cannot get around. So there are situations in which you might not actually want to do your encryption in PDF, in the sense that you might not want to use encryption as defined in the PDF standard. So the first most obvious reason is that it just increases the development burden. So yeah, the PDF standard is a very complicated and long document. So, well, if you want to support encryption in the way that's defined in the PDF standard, then okay, you're gonna have to do some work, or in practice, rely on a PDF library. Now, more say intrinsically, one of the other things that is true of PDF encryption is that it exposes much of the document structure by default. So, for example, unless you take specific precautions to avoid this, anyone can basically investigate how many pages a document has or whether it contains forms and a number of other things. So the content of the document is very much encrypted, and if you use a secure crypto system, it's next to impossible to actually, well, figure out what's in the document. Nevertheless, some of these more structural aspects can remain exposed. If this is a problem for you, then you probably don't want to use PDF encryption. So then there are also a number of issues with the standard itself. So the way the PDF standard implements encryption. The most obvious flaw is that older versions of the standard relied on the very insecure RC4 encryption method for, well, all its encryption needs, which is a very, very bad idea. I won't get into why here, but suffice to say that you should never use this encryption for new documents, only for, yeah, to read legacy stuff, basically. More damningly, the implementation of AES 256, as it's mandated in the PDF 2.0 standard, is actually not tamper-proof. So while it protects the contents of the document from being read by an unscrupulous adversary, someone with sufficient knowledge of crypto systems and the PDF standard could actually inject malicious content into the file. So it doesn't protect you from that kind of attack by default. And related to that, some viewers are actually vulnerable to exfiltration attacks, where by injecting malicious code into files, the viewer might leak some of the encrypted content to the attacker. So in the end, it comes down to the good old security versus convenience trade-off. It's the age-old problem in anything security related, basically. Let's discuss a couple scenarios here just to drive that point home. If you're encrypting static PDF files intended for non-technical users that don't have any dynamic content, forms, or whatever, then sure, you probably want PDF encryption. It's the most user-friendly thing here, and yeah, that's probably going to serve your needs the best. However, if all you require is encryption in transit and encryption at rest is not really a problem, then you're basically better off just ensuring that all your communication channels use TLS. If you not only need encryption in transit, but also encryption at rest, but on the other hand, your software is still in control of every step in the pipeline, basically, then you should still consider just encrypting the entire file as a binary blob. So just don't care about the PDF format, encrypt the whole thing using some established encryption library, and do your thing. In this case, you don't really need PDF encryption as such. And then finally, and this is perhaps the most important point, if you need your files to be resistant to intentional tampering, then you really shouldn't ever rely on PDF encryption exclusively. So you can, of course, use PDF encryption plus something else, but currently there's no machinery in the standard that allows you to encrypt a file and make sure it is tamper resistant at without adding other stuff. So there is a proposal in the works to add authenticated encryption to PDF, but yeah, that's moving through the ISO process, but that will take a while. In the meantime, if you need tamper resistance, then think twice before you entrust your entire architecture to PDF encryption only. The issue of tamper-proofing and integrity gives me a nice segue into the next big topic of the talk, which is digital signing. This part of the talk is divided into two sections. So the first one is about digital signing in general and the basic concepts that you need to understand to get the grasp on what digital signing entails. And then I'll move on to digital signing as implemented in the PDF specification. So let's start with some generalities about digital signing in the real world. So as I already implied before, digital signatures are an essential part of electronic bureaucracy in these times, and they're popular with both companies and governments alike. So in Europe, there is a bunch of regulation about the legal status of digital signatures and the rules that they have to follow. It's also part of many government workflows. For example, one example that you might have encountered in real life already is downloading official documents from your local government. When I need some document from City Hall, I can go to their website, log in with my government-issued ID card, download the relevant document, and it will be signed by the relevant authorities so that I can use it in legal proceedings if I would want to. Okay, now what is it that we look for in a digital signature, especially in a PDF file? So in general, we want the following three assurances. The first one is that we want to ensure that whenever the document is modified in some way, we should be able to detect that, and it should invalidate the signature in particular. So the signature should ensure that the document we see is the same as the one that was signed. Then closely tied to that, there is the authenticity aspect. So we should be able to not only verify what the signer signed, but also who the signer is. And then finally, which is there is the non-repudiability part of the equation, which essentially boils down to not giving the signer plausible deniability. So the signer should not be able to deny that he or she signed the document even years down the road, ideally. And it's particularly interesting to note that classical physical wet ink signatures don't really meet this integrity requirement, and arguably not really any of them. So this is really one of the areas where digital signatures have a clear advantage over physical signatures. So having said all that, let's go back to our example of the contract between Alice and Bob from before. Let's see how these requirements translate to this particular example. Before committing to signing the contract with Alice, Bob wants to know for sure that Alice will not be able to change the terms after he signs. So that's the integrity part. Then again, Alice wants to be able to verify that the signature is actually Bob's. That's the authenticity part. And not only that, she also wants to be able to prove that fact in court if Bob